Don't you know we come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Third. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Third. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Third helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Beloved, this is Daniel White the Third, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the History of Christianity podcast. Number 223, titled The First Crusade, Part 1. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And thank you for teaching us to pray that. Lord, we just can't get away from how powerful it is. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Have mercy and grace upon us on this morning for Jesus Christ's sake, and please forgive us of our sins. Wash and cleanse our souls, spirits, and hearts, and hearts and consciences in the precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow. And Lord, grant us supernatural energy, grace, and strength to pray and to read your holy word and to understand it and to learn about Christian history. Lord, something I believe should be required in the discipleship program of every saint of God. I believe it will have a way of stabilizing people in Bible-believing churches, and they will not be wondering why there's so many different families in the Christian family. And so help us to learn from this podcast, to grow thereby from your holy word. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ, the name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. And dear friends, when I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, this is podcast episode number 223, titled The First Crusade, Part 1. When I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, December the 19th, 1979, I somehow had the false idea that Christianity began when I got saved. It was just, even though I was raised in the church, dad a preacher, mother a preacher, lost and on my way to hell, and didn't even know it. I had no concept of the hundreds of years, yea, thousands of years of history that Christianity had gone through since the time of Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago. And this is no doubt due in part to how the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. It was an Apostle Paul type salvation, not that I'm the Apostle Paul, but it was very dramatic because I was running in the opposite direction like Paul was, and basically God knocked me off my horse And I got saved December 19th, 1979, and I have not been the same since. And that's real talk. And sadly, I have found that many believers, young and old, have a similar idea. The purpose of this podcast is to dispel this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry of Jesus Christ all the way up until the present day in an easy to understand format and way. You don't have to worry. This is not a boring lecture. This is simply a look at the basic facts and figures of Christian history that every believer and every person needs to be made aware. Beloved, our scripture passage for today is Mark 16:20, which reads, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Our history of Christianity quote for today is from Athanasius of Alexandria. He said, "Christians, instead of arming themselves with swords, extend their hands in prayer." Today, beloved, in the History of Christianity podcast, in this particular episode, we're looking at the First Crusade, Part 1, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1. For centuries, Christians had held the Holy Land in high esteem, and pilgrimages to its holy places had become one of the highest acts of devotion. Already in the 4th century, Constantine's mother had considered a visit to the holy places of Palestine an act of devotion. Shortly thereafter, a Spanish nun named Etheria, but commonly known as Egeria, traveled to the Holy Land and left detailed notes of its places, customs, and Christian rituals. Her account, the Peregrinatio Aetherae, was still circulating in the 11th century and is an example of the manner in which the Christian West looked to the holy places as objects of devotion. Those holy places had been in Muslim hands for centuries, but now the rise of the Seljuk Turks, who had become Muslim and were threatening the Byzantine Empire, reminded many of the earlier losses. At the time of the Arab conquests, if the West were to save the Byzantines from that threat, it was to be expected that relations between the two branches of the church, broken since 1054, would be restored. Thus, Gregory the 7th had already envisioned a great Western army that would save Constantinople and retake the Holy Land. But the time was not yet ripe, and it was Urban II who, at the Council of Clermont in 1095, responding to a request for support against the Turks from Byzantine Emperor Alexius I, proclaimed the great enterprise, to which those present responded with cries of "Deo vult," God wills it. It was a difficult time in many parts of Europe, where crops had failed and disease ran rampant. Therefore, the call to go to a foreign land as soldiers of Christ was received with enthusiasm by many, both of the lower classes and of the nobility. The apocalyptic dreams that for centuries had been repressed and that had been revitalized earlier in expectation of the new millennium now emerged again. Some had visions of comets, angels, or the holy city suspended over the eastern horizon. Soon a disorganized mob under the very loose leadership of Peter the Hermit set out from Cologne for Jerusalem. Along the way they fed on the land on which they fell like locusts and had to fight other Christians who defended their goods and crops. They also practiced their war against the infidel by killing thousands of Jews. Eventually, most of this initial wave lost their lives, and a few joined the ranks of the more organized crusaders. The formal crusade was led by Ademar, Bishop of Puy, whom Urban had named his personal representative. Other leaders were Godfrey of Bouillon, Raymond of St. Gio, Bohemond, and Tancred. By various routes, the crusaders converged at Constantinople, where they were well received by Emperor Alexius, and where Peter the Hermit joined them with the remnant of his ragged army. With the help of the Byzantines, they took Nicaea, which had been the capital of the Turks and which the Byzantines entered first, for the emperor feared that the crusaders would sack the city. They then marched on Antioch and endured many sufferings while crossing Asia Minor before the walls of Tarsus, Tancred, and Baldwin. Godfrey's younger brother quarreled, and Baldwin decided to abandon the enterprise and accept the offer of the Armenians to establish himself as their leader under the title of Count of Edessa. The rest continued their long march to Antioch, to which they finally laid siege, as they had done earlier before Nicaea. The siege of Antioch was a difficult enterprise. The besieged had more supplies than the crusaders, who were about to run out of food and had been plagued by desertions. When an Armenian Christian who resided in the city opened a gate to them, at the cry of "God wills it," the crusaders entered the city, while its Turkish defenders sought refuge in the citadel. But 4 days later, a large Turkish army arrived, and the crusaders found themselves besieged, while the citadel itself had not yet surrendered to them. Hungry and discouraged, the crusaders began to doubt the wisdom of the entire enterprise. Then someone said he had a vision that the holy lance with which Christ's side had been pierced lay buried in Antioch. Led by the seer, they dug where he told them, and they found a spear. Convinced that this was the holy lance, the crusaders resolved to continue their enterprise. After 5 days of fasting and prayer, as indicated by the visionary who had told them of the Holy Lands. They sallied against the much larger Turkish army. Their standard was the Holy Lands. They were possessed of such frenzied zeal that the Turks broke and ran, and the Crusaders helped themselves to all the provisions that the Turks had brought with them. They also captured many women who had been left behind in the Turkish camp, and an eyewitness boasting of the holiness of the Christian army says, "We did nothing evil to them, but simply speared them through." Ladies and gentlemen, next time, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we will continue looking at the first crusade. Let's pray. Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for teaching us more about our Christian heritage and history, no matter what color we might be. And help us to read more, even on our off time, to understand the ins and outs of Christian history. For your glory, praise, and honor, help us never to forget it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you. Don't you know it's true?